on the 2013-14 NFL season.
Top button.
And the way we started it out was guessing over-unders with Rick Goff, also known as Rick Carlson. And you might have heard us talking about Rick as our lawyer.
He's got Rick a lot Esquire. Of titles. He's got his Esquire. He's got a lot of titles.
Rick, do you want to know the questions that have come out from some version of Rick in Chicago on the Ask Us Anything segment of the show?
Yes, and I promise it wasn't me.
Okay, so it starts with, how dare you?
How dare you?
You know I'm not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Or do you know I'm not a lawyer? Sorry.
He'd never say that.
Who do you think you are? And will you guys please stop?
And the answer to all of them is no.
Lawyers have lawyers too, guys. And they'll be in
contact. Damn
talks.
It, I hadn't thought of contact. That, actually. That's not good. What if he's got Giuliani and we're going to have to mess with that guy?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna host from a U-Haul station down the road. It's going to be awesome.
Rick, welcome back.
Thank you. And how dare all of you?
Fair. Absolutely fair.
And Jeff, too?
TBD, but probably. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Rick is going to drive us through a little bit of, well, we're going to go through the over-unders, what we got right, what we got wrong, where we missed drastically, biggest variances. And then I want to close it out with a little bit. I've been obsessed with True Detective this season. And Rick has been our cinephile, so to speak, on the show in past episodes. So want to get his takes on the season and maybe a little bit of Bears draft thoughts too.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's fine.
So we'll see where it goes.
It's the season. It's the season. It's draft season officially.
So let's
Bears are on the clock, guys. Bears are on the clock.
That's true.
What are you thinking? Actually, let's start there. What are you thinking with the Bears? What do you want as a Bears fan?
I want them to take Caleb and hopefully it works out. I mean, wants and best case scenarios are two different things here. I think I got to give credit to Chicago kind of sports fans or the environment overall. It's in these times, like usually if there's a quarterback kind of discussion or talks about moving on, it's because people don't like the guy or something catastrophic's happened. This is a situation where for the most part, people like in this field, in this, city, they like Justin Fields. They like that he's a good leader. They like, you know, what he's been able to do. There's a number of, you know, what if situations or, you know, if things were done differently, we would be in a different situation. But ultimately, they have the first pick and a really good guy sitting right there for him. So barring any kind of just bonkers offer, they're going to take Caleb. I'm not sure what they're going to do with the other first. I suspect that there's going to be a lot of movement out there for probably 2 through 7. And then
that's a trade back spot for whoever wants to come up and get McCarthy.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're asking me what I'd like, what I would love is for the Bears to get like 4 firsts, keep Fields, and he turns out to be a dynasty level quarterback. In reality, that's not going to happen, right? They're not going to get a decent enough offer to move off the pick. He's going to come in here. He may be good. He might not. It might be that no matter what decision they make, it's going to be the wrong decision because the position is incredibly difficult to get right. So all of this might be a moot point in the end. So, I think everyone's kind of resigned to the fact that Caleb's going to be coming in. Fields is going to be gone, wishing him well. If the team gets a decent pick for him and he moves on to another team and does really well, you'll have a lot of out-of-town fans, you know, in that case. So it's the best-case situation. If the Bears had the second, third, fourth pick, I'm not sure we'd be talking about this at all. I think we'd be looking at a long-term extension, and this would be kind of a
I have an offer for you.
Oh.
Denver's calling in. I'm giving you pick 12 this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you our first-rounder next year.
Yuck. So far, yuck.
And I'm giving you Patrick Surtain.
Oh, my God. He did it.
Who?
Oh, no.
The best cornerback in the National League.
No.
Number one in return.
No. No. Wow.
You're out of your mind. Podcast is over.
He just baited you in. Listen, Caleb is minus 900 to be the first pick right now. Because I was about to just introduce, like, is May still in the conversation? And he does not appear to be.
Yeah. No, I guess the counter to that, Mike, is do you think another team would be able to top that offer? And I think
No.
There's you
don't.
Well, what's the market for? Well, a cost-controlled lockdown stud corner is a very valuable asset. That's a that's a top 10 pick type asset.
Yep.
Yeah. And
all right. Well, let's put it through. AB has to clear it either way, so it's not up to you guys.
I'm vetoed. I'm still thinking about trying to remember what Mike's over under pick for the Broncos was last year. And I'm guessing.
All right, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
It was double digits.
Let's start in the AFC West. I think it might have been 17.
don't prove it otherwise.
AFC no, West.
I've only picked over or under, right? Like we picked the Vegas lines.
Yes.
Let's start in the AFC West and I'll take my medicine.
Yeah, take it.
All right. So in the AFC West overall, not a lot of variance. You'll be happy to hear. With exception to Alex, who didn't choose to participate whatsoever. So
he's the West. Not a Western guy. He's more of a Southern guy, not West. He doesn't
I
go that far.
I stand by that decision.
So I don't know the best way to do this, but I'll go by team and just kind of go across the board.
Yeah.
So for Kansas City, the line is 11 and a half. They went 11 and six.
Ooh, the hook.
Y'all went over. So we all had that one wrong.
We got hooked.
But it's pretty close. You know, that was just one unfortunate. Yeah.
They did lose a game to the Broncos, right? So that's like, who could have accounted for that? Jeez.
Well,
I'm
not,
okay with it.
Not Gibby, because he was still going over. He knew that was a potential win.
He baked it.
Yeah. The Chargers, 9.5.
Oh.
So they were a little bit under that one. So we all had under. We
got lucky because we all had under, but like 8, 9, not whatever they ended up winning because they lost.
I think I had 0.
Okay. You know what? Keep going. Rick, keep going.
All right, so I wanted to get this out quickly.
Yeah, thank you.
Perfect. Denver, next on the list, 8.5. Gibby, how many did they win?
They won 8 games. They were 8-9.
Damn, Vegas. Right.
So there was only one. Oh, sorry, I take that back. There was two unders, both myself and Matty P.
Smart guys.
The over, you know, look, you could have got that pretty lucky. You easily could have got
lost
that.
The Patriots. Which
now you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything.
I mean, the variance between the line and the end zone wasn't that bad.
You took a walk in the woods. That's about all you contributed to that game.
I will say we all screwed up Vegas. It was 6.5, 8, 9. We all went under. We all lost. So
how the hell did they win 8 games?
Listen, I wish I would have trusted myself when I talked him up, but I just couldn't do it.
Wild. Okay. All right. I don't blame myself on that one.
AFC South. Let's go South.
Let's go. Boy. Jacksonville was 9.5. 9 wins, excuse me.
Unreal.
So we had over across the board. We were wrong across the board on that one.
Again, stop gambling.
We're off by a game, which makes me feel not as bad as being off by 3 or 4.
I feel bad that Vegas is on top of all of this somehow over this course of a 17-game season. They're like, yep, that's the number. Like,
should we
hell?
Just send this podcast to Vegas?
I think so.
Just do the
opposite. See if they'll reimburse us. Yeah. Yeah. You guys do refunds. All right. Okay.
Texans.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. I got Tennessee next.
Oh, Tennessee.
7.5.
Oh, that was
6-11.
Okay.
So we all had the under. We all swept.
Smart.
Oh, nice.
We swept that's every good. Category, right or wrong here. Indianapolis, excuse me. 6.5. We all had the under, I think, justifiably.
Yeah.
9-8. Swept wrong.
Yep.
Houston, we all had the under again. 6.5.
We I did.
All wrong.
Justifiably. Wow. 10-7. So that was a bad. The only thing we got right was Tennessee. Every other pick was wrong in the AFC South.
Solidarity.
I don't think anybody saw Nico Collins and Tank Dell having the year that they had. So,
or Rick, did you see what I sent the group text the other day about how they asked Stroud if he could put together his like ultimate Madden team? Mm-hmm. He mentioned Tank Dell and didn't mention Nico Collins.
Ooh,
that's a bad sign.
It's a good sign for you.
It's his boy, though.
Is it a Michigan thing? Do you think? Like,
I think he just like it's less about how he doesn't like Nico and more about how he just loves Tank Dell. Like he was the guy. He picked him.
Okay.
Yeah,
you felt a lot of chemistry with Stroud with a lot of the guys. You just never felt it with Nico.
Yeah,
it was always like, oh, Nico did something today.
Yeah, okay.
I have a question for you, Rick. Did I start participating once we got outside of the AFC West?
You participated in one team in the AFC entirely.
Perfect.
And that was the Patriots.
Yeah.
And I'll just skip to the end. You got it wrong.
Yeah.
So you're You are winless.
Let's go. Let's go AFC East then.
What was their over under?
They were 6.5. Oh, so, well, New England. We'll get to New England. Let's start with Buffalo. 10.5. Okay. We all had the over. They were 11-6. So,
bam.
Sweep.
Easy. Nice. Easy money.
By the skin of our teeth. Jets. 9.5.
That one, these ones don't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
We had the over 7-10. You know, whatever.
They would have
we
hit all it. Lost. They would have hit it easily. Yeah.
Exactly. Miami, 9.5. Maddie, Gibby, congratulations.
Thank you.
For nailing the over.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought the under was in play. I think it was because I kind of was willing Tua to play half the season and just didn't see where they would go with it. So kind of a surprise on my part, but
I've been banging that drum for a while. He's one hit away. So.
I think you influenced me on that one. Maybe. So.
I'm an influencer. Bit of a tastemaker.
You
all
are.
Of those,
you are.
All of those with no taste buds.
That's right. All right, Patriots.
Don't let Jeff tell you otherwise.
Patriots, 6.5. 4-13.
Oh, I don't like that for you.
I love it. What do you mean?
Three would have been better for you guys.
Yeah.
I would have hit the 9 on Broncos and, you know.
A top 3 pick in this draft. If they're going to have a terrible year, this is the year to do it. You don't want to have one of those years in a draft where no one's sure what's going on at the top. The top, like, 4 or 5 guys in this draft are locked in. You can't lose with any of them.
It was kind of like last year to a certain degree. Up until
nobody knew about Bryce, though. People were still, like, not sure about Bryce. And then outside of Stroud, like, it was Bijan, and that was it. What else did anybody really feel good about? So
yeah, exactly. So for the Patriots, Gibby and Alex both went over on that one, ironically enough. And MP and I went under. Nailed it. You may recall.
Rick, even said they win 2 games.
And they
you were closest.
Almost
Rick actually doubled down on this. He bet Tarbell and he beat him in another bet, a side bet on those 2.
Well, here's the thing. He listened to the pod and then yelled at me,
uh-huh.
full caps, and said something along the lines of, how do you idiots even allow this moron on the pod?
I believe that was pretty close. Yeah, Bell was heated. He was.
And I sat back and thought, wow, did I just miss the mark on that one? And it turned out we're okay. But
yeah. No,
I got one from him that, are you even allowed to talk about football?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, in your regular life. Like,
he's like, you know, instead of like working out in preparation for the golf trip, you two are basically working out like how to get so far under the skin that you're basically like basting. It's going to be nice. You guys it's a good captainship. It's going to work out well.
I can't wait.
Okay. As I feel good about all that.
So what do we got? The North?
North.
All right.
Let's head north. John
Bengals, Smith. Kind of a lost year, right? So 10.5. We all went over 9-8.
Nothing you can do about that.
Sweeping loss.
Man, this is teaching me one thing. Don't bet over-unders in the NFL. It's not worth it. You're going to lose by the hook, or someone's going to lose a quarterback and you're going to get smoked. Like, there's no value in over-unders for team win totals.
Well, and then you have to wait, you know. Yeah. 20 weeks.
Yeah, I want to lose that money faster. I want to lose it rapidly on a 17-team parlay.
Peter King had a really good stance on not betting. And he was like, Kyle Shanahan doesn't know what's going to happen each week or whatever.
I bet on a punt to be a touchback at any point last night. And there was one punt somebody had from like the 46. They attempted ridiculously long field goals. And then there was one punt. And it bounced at the 5, and it was going into the end zone, and the dude downed it on, like, the half-inch line. It was, like, just a course, of course.
Rich Bisaccia is betting, though, I bet.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's smart. He knows.
I bet.
Plus, there's so much variation. Compared to, like, betting day of game for all the variables you can plan for, you can't plan for, like, you know, Rodgers breaking his leg game one and – whatever. So it's just so much variation. The payouts aren't really that worth it either, unless you bet a total win of 2 for the Patriots and nail it. You know, then you can cash out. Bengals, 10.5, 9-8. Okay. Sweeping loss.
Yep.
Baltimore, 10.5. We all went over, swept 13-4.
Oh, easy good one. Work.
Easy one.
That was really easy. Not sure where the line was.
The schedules is what swayed this for me. Like, I was on the fence with the Pats, and then Gibby, you like walked through the schedule, and I was like, yeah, they're not going to win those games. Mm-hmm. And you just got to be honest.
That's exactly what I used. It's looking at every game, trying to figure out what they could possibly win, because the strength of schedule has more to do with this than just the feel of it, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland, another darling of the year. 9.5. And I think that was one of the easiest unders that we put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did not. 11-6.
Yep. They had a good
sweeping
year.
Loss.
Didn't see it. That felt like a lot of win. Like 9 would have felt like a good year for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they went 11, but at the end of the day, sometimes you're just Cleveland and you feel like you can't win.
Yes.
Steelers, 8.5. They went 10-7.
Ugh. Gross.
Gross is 10-7. So there are always two teams every year from each conference that don't make the playoffs next year. I think you just named the two that don't make it.
I'll say if Fields goes to Pittsburgh, now we're talking.
Or what if
I saw last night that the Falcons are the leading team to basically get any of these quarterbacks. But the Steelers were second on there. There's a lot of scuttle around that one.
Yeah, it's the place where former Bears quarterbacks go to die. So it fits.
Yep.
We swept the over on that one too. So team solidarity. We lost everything together, won everything together.
Russell Wilson's next team is the Falcons, it says. Best odds.
I think it's Pittsburgh, but I actually think it's Denver. I think they restructure. It's not going to be that exciting. It's going to be just a boring offseason for me.
No good.
All right, Rick, sorry.
So for the AFC recap, Matty P went 17-15.
Pretty good.
Gibby, 17-15.
Pretty good, too.
Not good.
Alex, 0-1. Sorry, with those total scores. AFC, 8-8 for MP. Gibby, 6-10. Sorry, you did better on the NFC side, as we'll get to. Wow. Alex was 0-1.
Nice. Volume shooter.
And I was 7-9. So we were hanging around, with exception to Gibby, the 500 mark. So which
Gibby rose-colored glasses himself through the AFC, and then he crushed the NFC, which is on brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
1,000%. So I have the East first on my list. So we'll start there. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So Philly, 11.5. They won 11. So again, it's crazy how marginalized these are.
And they probably didn't deserve those 11 wins.
I couldn't have been more wrong about them for longer than any other team this year.
Yeah. The tailspin went through. However, we all agreed, so with exception to Alex, we all went under. So MP.
Oh, keeping the streak going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're 0-2 so far.
Stay tuned.
And how do you feel?
Alive.
Dallas, 10.5. They had a pretty good year, 12-5. So the overs by Maddie, Gibby, and myself hit. The under of Alex lost.
You had a lot of Cowboys rage in the offseason. Where does your Cowboys disenchantment come from, maybe?
You know what? It's because every time I start to buy back into them, they'll reel me in and I'll believe in the Dak, CeeDee Lamb train. Yep. And then they just rip my heart out every time I put them in. So it's all fantasy related. It's not actually direct betting related.
Fair. All of it fair. Yeah. All of it fair. Okay.
Sometimes those are closely related. Mm-hmm. Giants, 7.5. They went 6-11.
Oh, man.
The under hit. So Matty P missed with the over. Gibby hit with the under. I missed with the over, and Alex missed with the over.
We'll get there.
Are you over now?
Maybe.
So.
America's worst friend.
So good.
I'll be the best if you just bet literally the opposite of what I say every year.
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Washington, 6.5. They won 4 total games. So Maddie had the over, miss. Gibby got it right with the under, as did I. And Alex joins Maddie with the missed over.
0-6 for Al. I love it.
Albatross. Albatross. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So the NFC East remains just a vexing mystery to Alex.
Let's go, Sal.
All right, Sal. New Orleans at 9.5. I'm the only one that got this wrong on the pod. I distinctly remember saying, I think they're going to be awesome.
Uh-huh. You said like,
I do remember
wins.
That. I do remember that. You were so bullish. Like it was an, you got like so
I
far
didn't
over
see
your
how
skis.
It was possible they could lose more than 8 games, which they did.
It was
didn't.
More
I mean,
about the crappiness of the division, I think was your thesis.
Exactly. That was another schedule based observation. They got real close and there was a couple games they should have won, but ultimately you guys got it. I didn't. Atlanta, 8.5, 7-10 final. So we all got it wrong. We were all over on that one. Again, a schedule for this entire division, it was a schedule based process, and we just missed with them. Carolina, we did miss. And congratulations to Alex for hitting his second correct pick there. We all had the under.
Oh, look at you go. You're climbing back in.
We knew he'd be back.
Yeah, and he comes tumbling down to earth with Tampa Bay.
Oh, no.
Where I was it was 6.5. They finished 9-8. I was the only over on that one.
Oh, good for you, Rick.
Baker. You love Baker. You have a special spot for Baker.
Again, the division itself just seemed too damn good. So here we are.
Agreed. Okay.
Okay. So the North. Detroit. We all went over. I think that was a pretty easy over for us. They were at 9.5. They finished 12-5. So, yeah, they probably could have finished.
I remember that being the most egregious line of all of them. I was like, this is free money. That team is obviously good enough to win 10 games.
Look, keep in mind, too, they should have lost two more games because the Bears mathematically were, statistically, they were going to win both games against Detroit. Yeah. It was mathematically almost impossible for them to lose. Yep. And they did. So.
And then they got the Cousins injury, too. Right. They benefited from that. So,
Exactly. So we all nailed the over there. No problem. The Vikings, all of us, with exception to Alex, had the under. It was 8.5. They won 7 games. So Alex was the only loss with Minnesota there.
Oh, you had the over, Al?
I remember that one, and I kept riding the kind of superstar train that they were going to win games because of the names they had there, specifically Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking about them, and they had they were pretty charmed the year before. They won a lot of close games. Variance is pretty high on those. It's not very sticky year to year. If you win,
didn't they win like 8 games within 3 points last year?
Yeah, they were 8.
There was a point in time where they were 8-0, but their actual score differential was pretty close to flat. Mm-hmm. It was like a point. It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
their defense was really the biggest. It was really bad last year.
It was decent. Weirdly
good this year. Yeah. A lot of teams just had boring games. Like the Bears just played screens pretty much every play against them just because of the way they were running their package. And I don't know. They're not a good team, even though they have some stars, but I digress.
Yeah.
Green Bay, 7.5.
Oh.
They finished 9-8. Matty P, the only correct over prediction on that one. We all went under.
I'm trying to think of why I would have bet.
Well, Green Bay was really bad on paper going into this year, and no one predicted that they'd have a quarterback output. No. That they
and you hated Love, too.
I hate, I'm not a Love guy. I can't believe he,
I think it was the division. I think you were probably so down on the Vikings and Chicago. And
that's probably
even Detroit, you thought they might sneak a game out, if I remember correctly.
And I figured that was the only time they would lose. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's 4 wins, potentially 4 or 5wins, right?
Yep. And I believe in the coach, so I was kind of like, why not?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Wow. Man. Brilliant.
Yep. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the Bears. That means a lot. Bears had a 7.5 line. They won 7 games.
Of course.
Should have been 9. But we all got it.
They did lose to the Broncos. I do have that.
Christmas, right? Wasn't it Christmas?
It was one of the earlier games, like week 3?
I think it was week 3, actually.
So as soon as the Bears were up.
Week 3 or 5. But
that's right about when the Millie boys started their run to prosperity.
Yep.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all coming your way.
ROI.
Yeah. It's all.
We're gonna, the math for us.
We'll disclose week. It. You'll get all the documents. It'll be fine.
Funny story about that game really quick. When the Bears were down by 20 in the third.
Yeah.
I put a lot of money on the Broncos. And I was sitting at a giant kid's birthday party with 20 Bears fans watching outside. And there comes a point where you just kind of don't care about the Bears thing and you just want the money. And I was the only one in this party screaming at the TV for the Broncos to come back and do what they did.
Thank you, Rick.
I was.
I want the money. at all times now. I can't, I don't think, I, maybe it's because we've got so many AB, you might have a take on this, but like if the Pats were in the Super Bowl and you betting against them meant you'd win a lot of money, would you be okay with that?
No, I think even in their prime, I was more concerned with their wins versus individual profit.
Give me the money.
I agree with Alex.
Okay.
And yeah, you can, in a similar maneuver, anytime the Bulls are up by any amount late in the game, bet against whoever they're playing.
First quarters, they've lost like 80% of their first quarters. It's crazy. They just like, they don't show up for the first quarter. It's been like a bad kept secret. The lines now are like insane if you try to bet it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Where are we? The West?
West. Yeah, West. Let's go West.
All right. Niners, young man. 10.5. They went 12-5.
Easy.
We all nailed the over.
Yeah.
And that will be the last thing Alex gets right in the NFC West.
Oh, but you got another one.
That's right.
He's more of a draft guy anyway. So
these are hard to hit. We already established
the compound guy. Yeah.
Seattle, 9.5. They won 9.
Unbelievable. That's like the 6th one.
Yeah. They're back to the Vegas thing. It's crazy how close
these
get.
Never betting these. Never.
Incorrect was Matty P and Alex with the overs. Gibby and I had the under. Rams. The next two, I'll just say I'll just do one at a time. The Rams, 6.5.
We all went under there.
We all went under.
They crushed it.
I'm not sure why we were so.
Because we didn't trust Stafford to stay healthy, and nobody knew that Puka Nacua was going to be the best rookie receiver of all time from the 5th round. Like, those two things are worth like 3-4 wins.
And we forgot, like, McVay is a really good coach.
Yeah. Wasn't Kupp was out at the start of the year, too, right? So we thought they were with no receivers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think a lot of people probably bet that under, is my guess, unless you're a Rams fan. So the logic made sense. Another reason why we don't bet these. There's so many things that can go against the thesis that can host.
And Arizona was what?
Spunky.
They were spunky.
They were 3.5.
They're going to be good. 3.5.
They barely squeaked it out with 4 wins. We all hit the under on that one. So
when do the over-unders for next season come out?
I think after the schedule release.
Because I can tell you, it makes sense. If the Cardinals are like 6 games or less, I am going to hammer that over. I might actually bet that
one. Who's the team? So let me go around the horn. Who's
they're the Texans. They're next year's Texans.
You guys think, so you think it's Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Alex, do you have a take on, I know it's early, but do you have a take on next year's like surprise team?
Not yet.
Okay. We'll wait on that. Rick?
I mean, it could be Arizona. I think they're not going to be a surprise team, but I think the Texans are going to be awesome. And I'm not sure if that'll be surprising categorically anymore, but Cleveland probably would be pretty good. I think the one scenario I could see is, again, one of these good quarterbacks goes to Pittsburgh and they kind of pull them up, just like Cleveland got pulled up this year with Flacco. So who knows? It could be anything.
I have the Commanders. Ton of cap space and a ton of draft capital, making a huge leap. And I think the AFC or NFC East rather is vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And then I have the Denver Broncos finishing with under 8 wins. I'm not bullish.
All right.
I just had to say their name out loud. It's been like a week or so since I've said it.
You are a tortured soul.
Rick, where did we finish in the NFC?
So in the NFC, MP finished 9-7. Gibby crushed it, 11-5.
Ooh.
Wow.
I went 10-6. Alex went 5-11.
Better than the AFC.
Uh-huh.
So
we got a tie.
So here's the thing. Yeah. At the end of the day, with all that variance, we all went, with exception to Alex, 17-15.
Wow.
We went 5-13.
That's crazy. What are the odds of that? Let's get even deeper into the rabbit hole. What are the odds that all three of us would end up in this, maybe better than I thought? We didn't set a tiebreaker. We have to do something in Hammock to break the tie on this.
Yeah, we got to
break the tie. We do. Yeah. There's got to be some kind of early on bet here we can make here. But
yeah, first guy in the lazy river.
I think drafting order is going to be the next thing we could take a look at here, or predictions. But we got to get through camp. We got to get through some of the interviews until we get a better feel for what people are doing. Right now we're in the lying phase. So no one really knows what's true. The agents are doing their thing and anything could happen at this point.
So I feel pretty good about the dynasty portion of that, but like the other regular draft, too many variants.
Don't. Yeah, we marginally know what we're talking about then. If we are above,
that's Vegas. True. Couple that with our Millie Boys performance and
37% on Millie Boys and 54% on the over unders. I think we're spot on.
And we lost like six of those by the hook.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Obviously the Curb reference, but Rick, there's another show on HBO that I am entrenched in. It's the fourth season of True Detective. Jodie Foster is absolutely crushing it. I kind of forgot about Jodie a little bit.
We get a text a day about Jodie, AB and I.
Yeah, she is. Did you really?
From you.
Really? I thought you said you texted AB.
No.
Side threats about Jodie Foster.
Hey, is he going to keep talking about Jodie Foster like this? What are we going to do?
We got to talk to someone about Gibby.
Did you guys check out Jodie Foster's 2023 hit Naiad?
No.
Gibby,
it's the story of the woman who swam from Cuba to the Keys, and she was like the trainer. I think there's awards involved there, but she was really good in that movie. But it's been the first movie she's been in, and feels like a bit.
So Rick,
30 years.
I'm going to give away one spoiler, but we're not going to give away too many spoilers, and you'll see this literally within like 20 minutes of the first episode. It's okay, Alex. Jodie Foster is just sleeping through Ennis, Alaska. She is doing her best. But Rick, thoughts on True Detective? Where are you at? What do you think about this season? How does it compare to first, second, third season two? I know second we can throw out the window, but
yeah, nothing compares to the first season. I think that was one of the first shows that we legitimately had in at least in our generation, kind of a weird sense or feeling after turning an episode off. Like, what did we just watch? What
I remember a lot of buzz about that show. Yeah.
A lot of people had to, like, for the first time, at least in my memory, you had to go to the internet and try to figure out what it was. It wasn't
what happened.
It wasn't a show that like handheld everything into your face. You had to figure it out. There's a lot of hidden meaning and mythology. And even years later, people are still trying to figure out what it is. So the cool thing about this season, and again, without spoilers, is the fact that a lot of things circle back to season one, and there's some really interesting connections, and we're one episode away from, I think, the finale, and there's still no idea, at least, you know, from my seat, where it's going or what could happen. Okay. So it's a really cool show. Jodie Foster, as you guys said, is amazing. She's good in anything she does. I'd love to do like a Jodie Foster power rankings as far as her things. Contact is number one in that list, of course. But the show Panic itself room. Is cool in that the other, like season two and three, I think just had a lot of just, they're trying to remake or make it purposefully or force the what was intriguing about season one, and they're back to it now. Like there's a lot of what I just watch moments as soon as the credits roll with my wife and I. So it's been cool. It's symbolism is run amok in this with, like, again, not a spoiler, but like oranges are used as symbols in this, this series in a way that shows and movies over the past 30 or 40 years have used it. So it's not even a True Detective thing. So they're just taking references from all sorts of different genres and throwing it in here. So I love it. It's nice. We haven't had a good show like that in quite a while. And we're not really sure what direction like the dramatic series is going to go, especially with carriers like HBO, with the reformation of Disney and taking a lot of these properties offline or just not continuing them. So for now, we got to enjoy what we got.
Rick, let's have a quick conversation about that because you're my guy for this. So the new like sports network, essentially, that they're like, what is this? What's the deal with it? Like, what does it mean? The three properties are coming together. And what does that mean for sports?
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. They're taking three semi-related and one unrelated property and putting it under one banner. They're just slowly reinventing cable again.
Okay. Yep. So that sounds right.
time is a flat circle in this too, really, I guess, in a weird way. We started with cable, we disconnected, everyone had their own services, and now there's been, I think, a lot of consumer blowback and a lack of sales on each of those individual channels as they got super saturated with different, you know, I got to buy 20 different things to watch what I want to watch now. So we're back to the period where everything's starting to consolidate again in a much more expensive, commercially driven way. And who knows, by this time next year, everything might be under one banner again. We don't know.
I think they forced our hands because they started at $7-$8 a month. And now I looked at my Hulu the other day and I think I'm paying like $22 a month for not even live Hulu.
Yeah, it's a scam. They just sneak it in and you never know. Only Bezos can get away with that. It's like, hey, we're going to make Prime $5 more this year. It's like, okay, Jeff, no problem.
No one even notices.
Yeah,
it's fine. Amazon.
And then you notice when you actually look.
Yeah. Amazon sneaking Amazon did the thing where they just sent you a real quick email hoping you didn't catch it to say, we're going to start introducing commercials into stuff too. Just
The commercials don't bother me. I think I'm in the minority there. It gives me a second to dive into my phone and to see all the important stuff that I've missed while I'm watching the show.
Usually I'm streaming it while I'm doing something else. So you never really notice it that much.
But who's so locked in on a show that they're like, oh, 1 minute for, I have to take 1 minute off from this show. Like, who's watching shows like that?
This is us. Cannot be in.
Oh my God. Stop watching those sad shows, Gibby. Nope.
One of the, dare I say, worst shows?
Oh, no. That is the second time you've offended Gibby tonight.
I'm sorry. Just the Justin Hartley. They're trying to make Justin Hartley a thing, and they did with that show that got released after the Super Bowl last night.
Oh, on CBS. Yeah. I feel like anytime you're an actor on CBS, like, unless you're over 60, it's not good.
Yeah.
Going back to the commercial thing, the only time I could see that hurting someone is if you're trying to stream like a mindless half-hour show, like Suits has a big renaissance right now from TikTok clips and stuff like that. But if you're someone just
rebooting that show, right? They're going to do another one.
It's either a reboot or it's like a continuation or something like that. Yeah.
Same general cast, I think I saw.
In LA now, yeah.
Because I figured out what makes that show go specifically is Lewis Litt is like a good standalone character. And then Harvey and Mike Ross have like really good chemistry. And it just fuels the whole show. Like, that's enough to get people in there.
Yeah, that show could have been about farming. And with the cast, it still would have been really good. It's like why The West Wing works. The West Wing could have been about anything. Yep. And it was the dialogue, it was the cast, it was the cadence, right?
Yep.
So I that's really the only time when you're sitting there and there's a commercial every 5 minutes, five times in a 30-minute show, it's going to screw you. But aside from that, an hour-long drama, you can afford.
You're fine.
At the time. Yeah.
I want to get final thoughts on Super Bowl, your takeaways.
Not enough Taylor. I needed 100% more Taylor. I would have been fine just watching her in the booth while the game played itself out and I had the audio.
Can I ask the group a question on the Super Bowl?
Yes.
And Maddie, you sent a text earlier that made me think about this. Mm. It was criticizing the Niners essentially for not running the ball enough.
Yeah. Yep.
So the one thing that was pretty apparent with Spagnuolo was like, we're going to blitz 60% of the time. We're not going to we're going to flood the box. We're not going to let them run up the middle, period. We're going to make Purdy throw. And by the half, McCaffrey had like 2 yards less average per carry. They just weren't successful. So you as the coach of the Niners at that point, do you continue to run or do you abandon it? Like they went.
You never abandon any part of the game plan. You just pivot dynamically to try to take apart weaknesses. So to your point, Rick, and the Chiefs have two of the probably the top two out of the three best cornerbacks in the AFC West, right? McDuffie and Snead. Yeah. Gibby would agree.
I agree.
Yeah, and then Surtain three maybe or something like that. But,
one,
if you're blitzing those guys nonstop, Purdy has to be able to, you got to call some plays where he can get the ball to somebody. They have nothing but playmakers who catch the ball close to the line of scrimmage and make things happen. And they didn't alter the game plan. This is why we roasted Hoover in the chat. He loves Shanahan, but Shanahan blew that game. He blew that game just like he blew the Falcons game. You have to adjust. Like, that's what made Belichick a good coach. Every time they came out at half, the stats showed they won games if they were up or like close because they just knew how to take that time and revamp what they were doing, and Shanahan didn't do it. He just kept running the same stuff.
Yeah, it was like looking at the next gen stuff this morning was nuts. How many uncovered rushes they had? guys just completely blown assignments, or just guys that schematically were never going to get covered.
So it was San really Francisco cool to see. Has had a bad offensive line, more or less. Other Trent Williams, fantastic. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But they have struggled with pass pro and also run blocking throughout the entire year. But it's been masked by Debo, by McCaffrey, by, you know, like Kittle finding soft spots in the zone.
Ayuk is a top 15 receiver in the league.
Ayuk as well. Like they have elite playmakers that mask how bad their offensive line is. Mm-hmm. I think, and you give Spagnuolo 15 plays after the script is done, and he's going to figure it out. Like, he is probably going to be a coordinator that goes to the Hall of Fame.
Of course he is. He's from Massachusetts. He's elite.
Al, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl in general?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, both defenses came out firing, so it was a boring first half, right? Outside of one trick play pass to McCaffrey, very scoreless. Maddie, unlike you, I don't care about the Taylor references. It doesn't bother me. I really enjoy when I see Blake Lively standing next to her.
No, maybe. I legitimately wanted much more Taylor. Mm-hmm. I wanted 100% more of her.
Yeah, she's, I don't know, immaterial, really, in my book. It doesn't go one way or the other. I'll take Blake all day. So that was my takeaway.
It's kind of like my confusion about why so many people hate LeBron, who's like generally a good dude. Yeah. Relative to like some
easy answer in the past. Easy answer. Nobody actually hates LeBron because of his body of work. They hate LeBron because he's corny. He's a corny, cringy cheese ball, and that is what people don't like. They hate anything else.
Same thing as Russ, right? Like,
yes, I
mean, you know, Russ hasn't done anything wrong
at
all, other than just being boring and corny and like his dumb commercials and
Instagram. I saw no shortage of pictures of Russ in the booth last night.
Yeah, he was up there with Ciara. Yeah,
he was there with Ciara, and I can't remember who else was in his booth. I think
Bieber was in there with him too.
Yeah,
did he just gather? Was LeBron in there?
Russ getting Bieber on the crew could boost his stock a little bit.
Bieber was actually just going from booth to booth stealing food.
Yeah, he wasn't interested in anything going on. James Marsden was in there too for some reason.
He's always there.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Who's the other guy? No, I forget. Another question for you guys. Romo, are you ever interested in him doing another game, let alone the Super Bowl?
Gibby has a soft spot for him. Because I love Romo. He feels that Nance, it's like Nance's little brother, and so he's like, fine, it's okay. Yeah. But he knows deep down that he stinks at his job.
Romo's not great.
Yeah.
Al.
He's just a little, if he could cut it down, he's great, but it's too much.
Didn't he start this very well? Like his first few seasons, we were like, wow, he's great. So what the hell happened? I saw a couple articles over the last few years where people are like, yeah, he knows that he's just mailing it in. Like he's just collecting a check.
Al Michaels came to his defense.
Really?
Really? Yeah. So Al Michaels was like, look, right now the golden boy is Greg Olsen. He kind of called out Greg Olsen.
I've been on that train.
He loves Greg Olsen, but you know, Tony had his moment. And now he's getting all of like the backlash.
Tony used to be prepared. He used to be engaging. You still, here's the thing about Tony Romo. You still learn a lot listening to him, but he's just, he's done zero prep work for whatever's in front of him. He didn't know the overtime rules last
year. I think he got called out for, because he used to like say what play was going to happen next, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're going to run, you know, power right off the right guard, and the left guard's going to pull, and you know, there's going to be a fullback leading the play, etc. And he would say like, they're going to do this, Jim. And he'd get make Tony Romo noises. And I think he got called out a little bit for doing that. And he hasn't done that for a little while now.
With he went against the game winning play of the Super Bowl.
He went away from what works, and that's a mistake. You got to stick. Yeah. You got to play the hits. Mm-hmm. You got to play the hits, and he's not playing them.
I'm looking forward to Greg Olsen getting a much more.
Is he going to? What's his deal next year? Where is he going to be? Because I'm no a big one knows Olsen yet. Guy.
But he's awesome. He's kind of like so what good. We thought Romo would be.
In he's terms so of, good.
All I want to do is, you can't make the audience dumber, right? You got to educate. You have to understand what's going on.
Tell me what you're seeing and call it out and be like, hey, this is what I think. Like that's what we people. If you're watching the game, that's what you care about. Like I don't need to be told what the score is. I got it. The widgets got me. No problem.
So let's do this. 2025 Super Bowl champion. We'll go around the horn and we'll wish our listeners a fantastic season. thank you for listening to us. But Rick, who do you have winning the Super Bowl next year?
Chiefs.
AB?
49ers.
Maddie?
You go. I want to go last.
Okay. I'm going Chiefs. I'm going three-peat.
I think that we'll get back to some normalcy next year. I think the Niners will finally get one. They're due. The team's going to stay the same. They don't have any guys leaving. They're running it back. I think they're going to be there again. Shanahan can't keep losing them games. He's got to accidentally win one eventually, right?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thank you. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for the entire football season.
Thank you.
We're not going away, by the way. No. We're going to be back. There's going to be some draft talk. Hip fluidity is going to be a big, big portion of the next month and a half or 2 months of the show.
AB, are you targeting any specific body parts for the combine this year? Are you thinking of anything?
Doing my own personal research on hip unlocking and really increasing the fluidity there. So okay. Personal statements are
all right. Well, make sure you start digging up some guys who rate highly with the, I want to hear those names. I want that.
I need glute love.
Just for you, Rick.
No.
Thank you for that. No. And thank you for all of the legal counsel over the past year or 6 months since you were last on. But well done. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.